following is a presentation of ComedyVoices.com.
Hey guys, we have an awesome episode with Mark Norman. He's a return guest. He always brings the heat. He was fantastic today, as usual. We talk about matching with a friend on Tinder. We have a longer email from a female guest, and just throughout that email, we give some great advice and have some good stories all throughout. So check it out, share it with friends, and have a good day.
You need something to get you through the workday? Well, good.
Because we've got a place for that.
Check out ComedyVoices.com for the comedy podcasts that'll turn your daily grind into a marathon of laughs. Stand Up Labs and UCB Comedy lead the way
with an array of shows that'll fill all your comedy needs.
It's ComedyVoices.com, powered by digital media.
Coming to you from the top of the Stand Up New York Comedy Club, this is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by ComedyVoices.com. Find your voice.
The TFM podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs are here every Tuesday with your emails, your questions, your stories. Guys, I say it every week. The emails are so good. We're taping two in a row this week just because I had so many awesome ones that I wanted to get to them all. And I want to thank you. Thank you for spreading the word and keep doing that. Keep telling people, keep telling friends to get involved. You know, some people are like, well, it's total frat move. I like to think that this podcast could work under any name. You know, we give advice, we do some news, we have some good times. So I'd love for you to spread the word to even some people that you might think wouldn't get on board. That would be fun. So keep spreading the word, keep telling friends, coworkers, sorority sisters, fraternity brothers. I'm really excited about our guest today. We've had him on before. Always a great time. Mark Norman, thank you for coming on.
Hey, always glad to be here.
You always kill it.
Oh, appreciate it.
You're my like go-to, like, hey man, I gotta get this together today. And then you'll write back, you'll be like, in.
Who dropped out? Give it Che?
No dropout. We had this double block set up. And I was like, and I put out the word to some, you know, I put the net really far out. I went for the tough fish in the middle of the sea. And then I was like, okay. And then I was like, you know what? I have this time. Maybe Norman's around.
Right.
And you were like, yeah, I'm in. So I was like, perfect. And it kind of took some stress out of my day. So sure. I was like, no, I got that set. I got a good guest. Also, you know, like once you have someone on that's good.
Oh, wow. It means a lot. Yeah.
Like you and I, every time you do an episode, everyone's like, get them back.
Oh, so, I don't believe that for a second.
Well, listen, I'm going to lie right to your face.
I'll take it.
So really happy to have Mark on. He's got some dates coming up. Tell us, you're going to be doing some, you guys should all go see him do stand-up. He's fucking great.
Oh, so, thanks. Yeah, I'm at Fort Lauderdale Improv on the 26th and 27th. And
of then December.
Of December, right after Christmas. So come out, Jews. Yeah. I'll be talking to you. And then on the 2nd of January, I'm at Buffalo Helium in Buffalo.
Helium in Buffalo. Helium's like a great reputation for a club.
Great club. Great comedy town, too. Those blue-collar guys need a fucking laugh.
Yes. Well, I just came. I want to tell this story.
You came already?
I came
a sock?
Right in my pants. So I just came from a blue-collar town. I was just in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Ever been there?
Yeah, that's a little more... I don't know what the... Buffalo's a little tougher.
Yes.
Scranton's more like a sad, nerdy blue collar. Does that make sense?
There's some sadness in the air over there.
It's more like publishing and shit, you know?
I had fun, but the second show, so first there was a host and, you know, I was the feature. I'm the middle guy.
Oh, I know the feature.
You know the feature. And I have fun, you know, I had fun shows, but the host came out to me and he's this black dude. And I think you know, we're not allowed to say these things, but there's differences between black people and white people. Okay,
look at the hair.
Yeah, so
the dick size,
I'll say the one major difference in comedy is that they'll kind of like give you shit without laughing with you about it.
Uh huh.
Well, like you know, this guy, it felt like he was trying to level me.
Yeah,
like trying to let me know that he's like he's not just a host. He does a lot more than that, and. Like he was like, "What's your name?" And I was like, "Jared Freed." And he just goes, "Gerard Reed."
Oh, boy.
And I was like, "No, Jared Freed." Yeah. And he goes, J-Ron need? Like, he kept getting it wrong. And I was like, no, like, he went to Jared.
Right.
And I said that, and he goes, and he, like, looked at me like, what?
Right.
Well, he went to who? Like, he'd never seen the commercial.
Oh, yeah. You should have been like, pedophile, well,
then
Subway.
So then I moved on to Subway Jared. I go, Subway Jared.
Yeah.
He literally was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, he, like, totally, like...
That fucking drives me
And
nuts.
I was like, you're fucking with me.
Yeah.
At this point. And then he introduced me. This is how he goes, oh, next comic, I've never seen him. Like, all, like that's going to matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the crowd's going to be like, well, if you've seen him, then I've never seen him. He's from Boston, moved to New York, and now, you know, he was on The Tonight Show. Is that what you were on? And I was like, I'm on the side of the stage. Like, no.
Yeah, just keep it moving.
Keep it going. And, like, because I told him The Today Show, because there was an older crowd. He goes, right. The Tonight Show. And then he goes, and then he just, this is how he said, he goes, well, his name is Jared Freed. It's like coming out of it.
This is why you haven't made it, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
I hate these guys. I can't get anywhere in this business because you're a fucking dick.
Yeah.
It's a name. Say the name he told you. You fucking loser.
And if someone messed my name up, but they said it confidently, I'd be like, done. Doesn't matter. It's great. I'm here to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to do my stuff. I'm here to get better.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to be... It's not like I'm anybody to care about how you say my name.
But don't put a fucking question... Freed?
Yeah, what? It was so weird. And then...
You're the fuck up here.
Yeah.
Not you. You're the feature. This guy's ruining it.
Like, I ruined his day by teaching him my name. Like, it was
exactly.
So then this is what happened. I want to ask your opinion.
I'm already mad. You got to go up to this guy and be... What's your name? Just be like, my name's Jaron Frofro. And he'll be like, Jared Freed? Then I'll get it right.
Yeah. Oh, thing. And that was the other thing. He wrote it down, and he wrote it down exactly correct.
Interesting.
And not many people do that. They'll write, I'm EID. They'll do, he wrote it exactly how it's supposed to. So I felt like he was just trying to fuck with
me. Yeah, yeah.
So then I'm on show the second night, Saturday, I'm on stage. I want to see what you think about this because I feel like you do a lot. You're on the road a lot.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
out there. So, and you opened for Schumer. So
Schumer,
you must
yeah.
see some. Wild crowds.
Oh, crazy ladies.
Oh, yeah. They're there to party. Right?
They're there to party. They start drinking at 4. They get to the show at 8. They're breast implants. They're fake tans. They're
great.
Hammered. Yeah.
I'm on stage. I'm 2 minutes in. It's going like mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just trying to feel where this is going to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this group in the front, and one guy just lets out the loudest burp I've ever heard in my entire life. And it was Homer Simpson burp. 125 people. Everyone stopped.
Of course.
It was the most disgusting, disrespectful thing I've ever heard an audience. Like the burp went,
oh. Wow.
And I look down and everyone cracks up laughing because that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
of course. And I go, are you, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Are you serious? And he looks in and I go, are you here with anybody? Do you have a wife?
Uh-huh.
And his wife was like sitting across the table and she's like laughing. I'm like, you married him? Like,
right.
Why?
Is this hitting? Like you shitting
Killing,
on
Killing, yeah.
Oh, good,
it's
okay.
Going, I do 10 minutes and I did 10 minutes on like, I was like, do you have kids? And they're like, we have 3 kids. And I was like, oh my God, this is what you're teaching them.
Right.
You're bringing, you know, you guys get to vote. And
yeah.
I talked about how they're allowed to vote in the same elections as everyone
good.
In the room. And then this is when it got off the, this is when the Scranton crowd was like, we've had enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of the 10 minutes, it started to say me shitting on them. Said more about my socioeconomic background than it did theirs.
I see. They're like, wait a minute, he's a Jew.
Yeah. What is it? Like, I was like, what kind of wedding do you guys have? Pizza boxes and Coca-Colas? And
they're like, yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong? That was, yeah, that's what our kid's wedding is going to be. You know, like, it was really kind of got offensive. And then I was like, okay, it's time to get off of this thing.
Oh,
he actually stood up. He goes, wait, I'll do one more.
Oh.
And he started taking off his pants. And I go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm going to fart. And I was like, you don't have to take off your pants.
Yeah, we
to
got
fart.
It.
Like, farting in his pants was too classy.
Exactly.
We wouldn't have gotten the joke.
Right, right.
Have you ever had something like that happen?
Not like that. This guy's a real class clown.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
I've had the girl puke in the back of the room, which is fine, whatever, but it was one of those, you could hear the splatter, and right, that splatter hits right on a punchline, like I was in a pause, and you just like, you know, and you're like, everybody's like, and you get that weird chill when you hear puke,
yes.
You know, because you're like, am I going to puke, and the smell hit, it was brutal.
And also, that takes over the room, like, you know, nothing will be funnier than how disgusting that is.
Exactly, like, guys got up instinctively, like, oh shit, is it on me?
Yeah.
It was a whole to-do.
Another guy in their group, this is the level of intellect in this group. One guy, I said something about like, how it's tough to be a man these days because like you have to, if you're too much of a man, you're a dickhead.
Right.
And if you're not enough of a man, you're a woman. Uh-huh. Like you have to, like that's kind of like 2015 as a male.
Yeah.
You have to like hit it perfectly.
I like that.
And one of the guys in the group, this big fat guy in the group just goes, Caitlyn Jenner.
I love that. There's always that guy.
Oh, it's just like, that's, I get the connection he made.
Right, right.
But it was a stupid fuck. Like, he'd just been waiting to say, Caitlyn Jenner. It was like a mentally challenged
he
person.
He just thinks in hashtags. Yeah. He doesn't know what the hell's going on.
He had that chambered. It was like loaded. I've had that before. Like, can you believe what's going on? Trump! Trump!
Yes.
Like, don't come talk about your Tourette's.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. Drunk Tourette's.
So you see so much weird shit doing this because you're in a room where someone's going to be funny, so you think, I got to be funny. And it's just, I'm starting to see more and more weird shit.
Yeah.
And this was something that I love having you on. I'm going to divert into this. I thought about this before because you're the perfect person for a lot of these guys to give advice because you seem to be hooking up.
Oh, I'm killing it.
You're
baby.
In the hookup game.
I'm slinging trim.
You are.
All day long.
The best story, and because sometimes you'll bring people onto this podcast and they'll be like, fuck these guys. And I'm like, no, they're good guys. They're just trying to fuck.
Yeah.
Like, they're just animals, just trying to eat.
Yes.
And it was funny because I think it was your birthday party.
Uh-huh.
We were hanging out, we were getting drunk.
Oh, the coal yard.
Yes.
Yes.
We were getting drunk, and you introduced me to this chick.
Uh huh.
And you look at me and you go, And we're doing a shot or something, and you go, she does anal.
Yes.
And I'm like, loves anal.
Loves
was your
anal.
First your first thing you said to me. And I go, oh, that's great. And we start talking about it, and she's hot as shit.
Oh, thanks.
She's so hot. And then you walk away, and I think Sam Morrell or someone else came up to me and goes, I was like, oh, Norman's chick is so fucking hot.
Mm.
And he goes, yeah, she's got a fake leg.
That's right, peg leg.
And I go, wait a minute. In my head, I was like, the first thing you say is anal? That's your one discriminating, quality?
I didn't even think about that.
To me, that was so, that's a guy who likes hooking up.
Yeah.
When you were like, oh, fuck that peg leg.
Yes.
She puts it in her butt. Like her one character quality,
right.
If you were writing a script about her.
Yeah. Even when you repeated that, it took me a second. Like, oh yeah, I did do that. Yeah, the peg leg is secondary to me. I anal chick, I'm like,
what was it like to fuck the girl with the peg leg?
That's so fun. Like,
also, her butt was so great. You would think side of the butt would be flatter than the other.
That's a good point. She works out. I think she's very conscious of like keeping,
I'm
like,
sure.
Looking like not a mutant.
Yeah.
You know? So she's always working on it and like her legs are pretty similar. Like she's came from a rich family.
You could never tell.
You could never tell.
Nah, you could never tell. Her body was insane.
Oh, crazy. Huge tits, the whole thing.
How'd she lose the leg?
Jet ski.
Come on.
Jet ski when she was 14, a jet ski like pinned her, like a T-boned her. Yeah, just snapped it. They had to lose it right at the thigh, too, like up high above the knee.
Above the knee?
Like I don't know, 4 inches above the knee, yeah. That's a lot of leg.
I got an honest question for you.
Lay it on me.
Was it hotter because of that? Were you like into it?
But I will say the sex is fun because, A, she like is a giver because she's like, I have one leg.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring the heat.
Yeah. She's got some fat girl in her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she's super sweet. This is beyond fatty because fatty can lose weight.
Yeah.
She's never getting that leg back. Some shark ate that in the 80s.
The shark going to puke it up.
Yeah. So we're fucking, and I'm a big fan of the legs over the shoulder, and the leg came off.
During the sex.
Oh,
she doesn't take it off for sex?
No, she leaves it on.
Really?
You don't want, it's a stump. It's weird.
I think I'd be like, come on. It's like wearing socks.
I guess. I don't know. She might like it on or
okay.
I don't know. So
it came off.
It came off. And so I have a leg. I was like stunned. I was like, oh shit. And I backed up and it was still on my shoulder. And so I had to make a thing out of it. I was like, and I took it and I did like a golf swing.
No, you didn't.
And I like a batter up. She's loving it. She's loving it.
It's killing.
It was killing. And at one point she had to go to the bathroom and I was holding her leg up like this.
Waving?
Waving like a kid with a ball.
Yeah.
And not giving it to him. And she hopped to the bathroom and I went, arr. So we had some good times.
No way.
And she liked that I was treating her like a human, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They want to be made fun of as much as anyone else wants
exactly.
to be made. Give me shit.
Yeah.
Fuck, man, that's hilarious. Okay, Mark, I'm so happy to have you on.
Good to be here.
I'm pumped to have you. Go follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Norm. Fantastic comic. He's going to be in Fort Lauderdale December 26th and 27th. January 2nd, he's at Buffalo Helium. Get to those shows. If you're in that area, you got to go.
Yeah.
Also, the 2nd's a cool date because it's the Saturday after New Year's.
Right, the hangover's gone.
And you don't really want to go out. You want to have a nice night with a few beers, maybe some friends.
Exactly.
That's a good night to go out.
Exactly. One night only, two shows. It's going
to
be fun.
I'm doing the same thing. I'll give myself a plug. Go to jtrancomedy.com. I'm going to be at City Steam.
Oh, that's a fun room.
Fun room. They got good beers and good food.
Yeah.
That's in, where is it, Hartford?
Hartford, Connecticut.
On January 2nd, doing the two shows.
Yeah, the Brouhaha.
Brouhaha. It's a great spot. It's a fun room.
Real towny room.
Yes. But they'll let you do kind of what you're talking about. Like, it's like a blue-collar, towny, fun experience. They're not there taking themselves too seriously.
No. The only problem with that room is if you get a big game on, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But I think you'll be all right.
Upstairs, they'll have something going on. That might be the championship game. Now that you mention it. Let's go to the emails. You ready?
Hit me, baby.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Mark Norman. Let's go. Are girls ever truthful?
Ooh.
Okay.
I think so.
I think so, too.
Some are.
There was another one I wanted to do.
I mean, it's like Chris Rock's got that great bit. Who lies more, men or women? And everybody's like, man. He's like, fuck you. Your whole life's a lie. The visual lie. You got heels on. You ain't that tall. You got breast implants. Your titties ain't that big. You know.
Yeah. That's
blah, blah, blah.
So
it's a good point.
That's a good point.
I had a thing with a girl recently. She was like, I like you, but you're not tall enough for me. And I was like, why? She goes, I want a guy who's taller than me in heels. And I'm like, so I got to be taller than you and your lie?
Yeah.
That's not fair. What the fuck?
I like that. Yeah, there's Bumble, like on the apps. You're on the apps.
You got me on Bumble,
I got
way.
You. It was
I've
great, right?
I've gotten laid more on Bumble than...
I told you.
Than Cosby.
They got to start fucking paying me.
Yeah.
Because I've been pushing everyone on Bumble on this podcast.
Bumble is the shit. It's like Tinder's MySpace.
Totally.
You know?
It's gone. And you go on there, there's a lot of neck tattoos and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Bumble is great because, and I've said this before, and here's the reason for Bumble. It cuts the numbers down. You cut through the grease.
Uh-huh.
We're animals. We'll talk to anybody.
Sure.
If you match with 10 girls on Tinder, you're going to talk to 8 of those 10 girls.
That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time, a lot of effort. Maybe you got 4 girls that would go on dates.
Yeah.
Bumble, you match with 10 girls, only 5 are going to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
You might really only talk back to 2 of them.
Right, you're down
to 1 date.
Exactly.
So the numbers work better for men, and now you're actually excited about going on the
yes.
date. She knows that you're excited about
yes.
going on. So that's it. This is called the... I want to go to that email second. I want to do this one first.
Okay.
Old switcheroo.
All right.
J-Train, you seem like a reasonably intelligent human being, so I come to you for advice. I'm a senior in college, and I'm about to propose to my girlfriend. Should I do it on Christmas? What the fuck? Just kidding,
no.
You Jew.
Wow.
No, what a turnaround. Right. Here's the situation. On Friday night, I was at the bar in my hometown with my boys for our buddy's birthday. No need for details, but I got fucking polluted. Tequila does that to a man.
Mm-hmm.
Polluted. I've never heard that.
I like that.
I like that, too.
Polluted.
Anyways, that last call, a girl I've wanted to slay, an 896.
I remember.
Okay. For a while, she has a hot twin sister, too, but that's beside the point. Asked me if she could come back to our buddy's house. Being a short walk from the bar, I took her home. On the way home, she asked which bed we were sleeping in, so I knew it was fucking on.
That's big.
We get home, and I take her to the room, and I hop into bed. She says she has to quickly go to the bathroom, and she leaves her friend... And as she leaves, her friend, a 669,
mm-hmm.
walks into the room. So she's the 896. Her friend walks into the room as she's in the bathroom, a 669.
Into the bedroom.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, don't get too excited, you degenerate fuck. I didn't take them both down, but could you imagine if I did? I guess I could. Anywho, girl B, let's call her Allie because that's her name, and I don't give a fuck if she's listening, climbs into bed with me. I guess now is a good time to inform you of the fact that they've been friends since childhood. Long story short, girl A, it's actually Heather, walks back to the room and sees me and Allie kissing, prompting her to sleep elsewhere. And leading to me giving Allie the most unmemorable fuck in the history of time. I know this at this point it sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm getting to the question. How do I get Heather to sleep with me after this debacle? Mm. Or is all hope lost? I trust he'll give some solid advice. Love the podcast. Been a fan since day one. Thanks in advance, Evil C. P.S. What a nickname. I know.
Evil C. Interesting.
What do you think? So he's had girl B... shows up out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
An embarrassment of riches.
Yes. Spoils to the king.
Yeah.
So wait, let me see if I got it.
Please.
Because there was a lot of B's and A's and HPV's.
Yeah. Break so it down.
He was got a girl in his room. This girl A went to the bathroom. Girl B stumbles in. He hooks up with girl B. Girl A sees this and stumbles out.
Stumbles out.
All right, got it.
How does he get back with girl A?
Uh-huh. I don't know, man.
That's tough.
You might be fucked. Just... It's a kind of a win-win because you already got laid.
Yeah.
So you got that, but you want to bang A. That's his fault for fucking B. Why not fuck B later?
Yeah, it's almost like he was just sitting in that room with a boner. He's like, whoever's up!
Right,
like, it's
right.
Like, it's such a weird
thing.
And there is this thing where we're living in a time, and I mentioned this on the last episode, that there's so much choice.
Mm, yes.
And a lot of times, and I've done this to myself, I'll be on a Saturday night and I'll be doing shows in the city, and then you'll be texting with a few girls and you're just like, and they all just become nothing.
Exactly. I've had the same thing.
Yeah. And you go and there's so many roads that you just get to like 2 a.m. and like one girl stops texting with you. The other one's like, I'm here, but like it's over.
Yes.
And you didn't take the road that you needed to take at 9 p.m.
Uh-huh. You know, it's the New Year's effect. You're sitting there going, we got 7 parties, we can go to this bar, we can go there, and then you end up fucking the whole night.
Yes.
Because you can't pick. You got to have one or two things and then figure it out.
And you're always better off. You're always happier. I'm not sure if you're like going to have the best sex or like it's going to be. You're always going to be happier just making the decision on one.
Totally, totally.
And going with it. You don't realize it until the next day when you fuck the whole thing up.
Right, right.
This worked in his favor.
Yeah. He still got laid.
He still got laid.
And A might not have fucked him. She might have cuddled and blown him, maybe a finger. You never know.
You never know. It might not have worked out in the same way.
Yeah.
I do like what you're saying. He has it already. So put that in the rearview mirror.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing.
There's a couple guys in that house who got nothing.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that were just whacking, you know, going home with their hand. You
exactly.
Know, like that's, so I think the move is to never acknowledge what happened.
Uh-huh.
Live in this vague, you know, weird... cuckold.
Yeah, well, don't get a black guy in there.
Yeah. So
Jerry.
Joe Hoo. That could be my new new music to this. Joe Hoo. Jerron Reed.
Right.
He classically messed it up.
Yeah.
So I just think like what happened.
Yes.
You can't go back.
This guy must be good looking or something.
He's working it. It must have been quite a night where girls were just looking to get laid, which is great. The only way to play it is to never really acknowledge that what happened and just kind of act as if.
Right.
Act as if you two had a fun night together that just never worked out.
Ah, that's interesting.
You know, instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry, all you're apologizing and all you're professing does is remind her that you chose a friend over her.
Yes, but won't she bring it up?
If she does, you just say, that's when you crumble.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, that's when you come on your knees. You're like, no, but this happened and that happened. And then,
right.
And all you say to her is like, listen, it was a wild night. I felt really badly about it because obviously I wanted to be with you.
Yeah.
She kind of just showed up. You were gone for a while. I thought that you would said that I thought you leaving. This is the lie that you make.
Uh-huh.
I thought you leaving meant that you weren't really into it.
Oh, nice.
Now you take you kind of show a little bit of your self confidence issues.
Like
you break your own confidence issues. You don't make it about her.
Yes.
You're saying you're so hot and great. I kind of thought that you just left and your friend showed up. I thought you were trying to set us up. I thought you pushed her in the room.
Right. Oh, here's another lie that won't work. She goes, what the hell happened? You go, I thought you set it up with girl B. I thought you wanted to do a threesome. I thought it was your idea.
Ah, yes.
That could be a twist. I was waiting for you.
I thought you were the lead player.
Yeah.
I just wanted her on the nuts.
Right. came back.
I wanted her as lead grip.
Yes,
on the set. I wanted her doing lighting and stuff.
Right.
I didn't want.
Right.
I agree, but like here, you live in this world that it just didn't work out. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then if she ever brings it up, yeah, I thought you just weren't into it. And mm-hmm. you told your friend that I'm sitting there. There's a boner waiting for you.
Sure, sure.
And this is all just a way of, like, you know, moving the conversation along. So now, hey, what's happening this weekend? What are you doing? You got to put the full court press on this new yes. on the other girl, because right now she's saying, maybe my friend is hotter than me.
Of course.
And what you're going to do is let her get back at that friend.
Right.
You're giving her that opportunity.
And you make some jokes like, next time we'll lock the door.
yes, know? Yes, yes,
or
exactly.
Before. And the side story of this is, who's the guy downstairs who was just sitting in his room, you know, picking his asshole, and girl A walks in like, I got rejected. He's like, come on in. That's the story I want to hear.
He's like, all of a sudden this hot chick
yeah.
just showed up crying.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Mark Norman, @MarkNorm on Twitter. Go check him out. Go follow him. He's going to Fort Lauderdale and Buffalo. Go see both of those dates.
Well, you're the best with plugs in the business.
I know how to roll through
these. You're
the king. Are girls ever truthful?
I think sometimes. The good ones are. Then you get the bullshit artists, the gamers. I hate the games.
I don't think this is a girl or guy thing.
Yes.
I think every single one of us wants to be known as the best version of us. So kind of like with this guy. Like, this last guy in the last email, we're telling him to lie. We're
literally
advising him. But what are we supposed to say? What is he supposed to say to that girl if she's like, what happened that night? Hey, I just wanted to fuck.
Right.
And it didn't matter who it was.
Right.
That's kind of a mean thing to say. And he doesn't really want to be known as that guy.
Yeah, even though we all are that guy.
Yeah, even though we all are. But, like, you know, what are you going to do? Say that to someone's face and be known as a nice person?
Yeah.
Like, we live in a society. You know, like, we have to.
It's a good point.
You know, there's things that we do to conform. I'm wearing pants right now. I have to wear pants.
I'm not, but I hear you.
Yeah. So, you know, but I'm saying, like, I have to get dressed every day.
Sure.
I can't just see a girl in the subway and just start whacking off.
Right.
That's not living in the society.
Well, we're getting away from that. I mean, there's a thing called shame.
Yeah.
That we used to have, and now we don't have that.
Yeah, you know? I was saying that the other day. It's funny what people will and won't shame you for.
Right, right.
I tweeted this today, and you can find me, JTrain56, if you'd like to follow me. I do, it was like, you could say, I could walk around being like, oh, I'm a black woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no one could say
totally
anything
fine.
About it. Totally fine. It'd be mean if someone was like, well, you're not a black woman.
Exactly.
I was like, I am a black. But if I say I don't watch Breaking Bad, people are like, oh, you are. You're an idiot.
Oh, interesting.
How could you? What are you, under a rock?
Right.
And they'll shame the hell out of you
right.
for not being on their same intellect level,
yes.
for not watching Breaking Bad.
That is fascinating, isn't it? If a Mexican guy steals your girlfriend's purse and you go, this fucking beep, beep, beep,
yeah.
people go, hey, 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 you're like, he stole.
Yeah.
Like, that's worse.
Yeah, the purse is gone.
The
still.
Purse is gone. I'm saying words.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at now. Words are the number one.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, my favorite place to lick is the butthole.
Nah, I'm into that as well, buddy.
Right? Someone asked what my favorite place to lick was, and the butthole was number one. That's.
I was hooking up with a girl last week, and my boner went down, and I was like, oh, shit. What the fuck? I freaked out and I licked her ass and it went right up.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
saved me.
It's like this Popeye's spinach.
Yes, exactly.
Just go to that butt.
Right.
Long-time listener, second-time emailer. Thanks for the advice with my last email. Anyways, I'm a freshman in Arizona, stepchild of a state school, and I'm in Greek life. Lately, I've been hanging out with a lot with this one girl I'm friends with. The other day, I was talking to her and threw out the idea of maybe going out on a trial date sometime.
Mm.
I'm going to highlight that because I think that's his problem. Just like a let's see if we want something more kind of date.
Ugh, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Don't we all want to fuck?
Yeah, mind you, I was very casual about it, seeing as I wasn't even sure how I felt about her yet. Yeah, you weren't sure, dude? Come on.
Right.
And thought it couldn't do any harm. My question was met with a funny look on her face and a couple strung out lines, and then I value our friendship too much to ruin it. Now, my question to you is this. Is there any truth to that statement? Do girls actually care about losing their completely average-looking friend? Because I call complete bullshit. I didn't ask to ruin our relationship. I was asking if maybe there was a chance that there was some sort of
attraction. I think girls say shit like that, or I'm not looking to date anyone right now, as a lame excuse they can pretend to be nice and feel better about themselves. Because whether it's not you, it's me, or whatever, it still hurts when a dude gets rejected. I think the world would be a better place if girls just weren't so worried about whether or not they think they're being nice. Would love to hear your thoughts. Also, like any guy ever, her rejection only makes me want her now. Mm-hmm. So if you can, if you have a move on how to lock that down, I'm all ears. Much thanks, big fan. Keep up the good work. What do you think?
Is this the butthole guy?
This is the guy. Yeah, this is the
same guy.
Yeah, yeah. Ay, J-Train looks above. Oh. No, this is a different guy.
Oh, it's a different guy. Yeah, I was going to say, he should have opened with that. She might have stuck around. But yeah, obviously she, I mean, this guy knows what's up. He just needs to hear someone say it. She's not into him. That's it. You can't throw words around like trial date. You know?
That's his biggest problem.
Yeah, you've got to just take a little charge, I think. I hate to say it.
Yeah, even the way he put out that date idea.
Uh-huh.
No girl wants to be fucked by the guy that's like, hey, do you want to like kind of try this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like the fucking's going to be horrible.
Exactly.
No
yeah,
dominance
yeah.
in you whatsoever. No confidence.
That's why you're the friend.
Yes. And also, this is kind of back to what we were saying before we even read the email. What do you want her to say to you?
Uh-huh.
He's asking, is it bullshit? Yeah, but we all bullshit people.
Ah, good point.
To
yes.
look better. What do you want her to say to you?
You make me dry as a bone.
Yeah, I don't want to fuck you.
Right.
You know, like, is that better?
Exactly.
Then hint, hint.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to ruin this relationship. Hint, hint.
Right.
I don't want to fuck you. That's what it is. Let's just stop playing this game where we're like, well, do you want to lose it? Whenever someone says, I don't want to ruin a relationship, that's them saying, I'm not into you. I don't want to fuck you.
Totally.
You know, like, just know it. Take the hint.
Take the hint. Why are we, we always dissect that sentence.
Yeah, I don't
know
why.
What does it mean? She doesn't want to, shut up. You know what it means. Move on.
Well, it's one of those things where you think, like, it happens to everyone else but me.
Ah, you know? Yes, yes.
But it does happen to you.
Right.
You're not that great. but you're going to be good for somebody else.
Somebody else, exactly.
You know, there's going to be someone. And the worst thing you can do is be like, hey, do you want to kind of sort of do a date? And then she goes, nah, I'm not. I don't want to ruin the relationship. And then be her friend again. That's the worst thing you can do because you don't want to be her friend.
No.
You're lying to her just like she's lying to you.
Oh, boy. Way to take that one down,
right?
Baby.
You're lying as her friend because you don't. All you want to do is fuck. And she's lying to you saying that she wants to be your friend. It just doesn't want to ruin the relationship because she doesn't want to fuck.
Boy, that email was like a frog. You laid it out, split it down the middle with a scalpel, and took out all the intestines.
This is why I'm here.
Yeah, I guess
this
so.
This is why I have the show. You know, so I just think, like, let's all be a little bit more, you know, he wants to blame women for them lying.
Right, right.
But men are lying, too, when they're like, hey, we should just, like, hang. Like, I don't care.
Right,
yeah, you do care.
Of course.
If you weren't a liar, you would have went up to her the first time you met her and be like, hey, you're hot.
Yeah.
Let's go get a drink.
Right, but you had to get
come
that
to my frat
zone.
Party. You know, you were just like, oh, we, like, have good conversations. Like,
right.
You were worried. Like, those conversations were giving you boners.
Yeah, this guy's projecting. Are women truthful? Are you?
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com here with Mark Norman. Go check him out, at Mark Norman on Twitter. Let's go to another email. Lending a friend money.
Ooh, never good.
Dear Jared Freed, if you let a friend borrow money and he's slow on paying it back, how do you get it back without ruining a friendship?
This is tough.
Here's my situation. I'm currently studying abroad in Europe. Tough, tough. Before coming here, I didn't know too many people in my program, but met a guy from a different school back in the U.S. We instantly became besties. Since we're in Europe, it's hard to transfer money from the States, so one weekend I let him borrow around $300.
All right.
Over the last 2 months, he's paid about half of it. I hang out with this dude almost every day, either at class or going out at night. We genuinely enjoy being around each other. I know this sounds really fucking gay, but that's what bromances are. I've pestered him for the money back, but since we're both broke college kids, he normally responds with something like, dude, I don't have enough right now to get you back, but I swear I will. $150 is a pretty big deal to broke-ass college kids, so I really want this money back. But at the same time, I don't want to ruin a great friendship that's been made. One night, I was pissed off and drunk enough where I yelled at him about it, yelled back about how I need to chill out because he's not going to pay me, because he's going to pay me back. Obviously, money issues are awkward to talk about. Any advice getting back from friends or just dealing with borrowing money from friends in general would be greatly appreciated. What do you think?
It's tough. Money's always a bitch. You bring it up, then he gets mad at you.
Yeah. Because when you bring it up, he sees it. Let me just give you his point of view. He sees it as you embarrassing him
exactly.
in front of people. You're
yeah.
saying that he's poor and that right. he's not a good person. There's a lot associated with saying that you're not paying me back.
Right. You want the friend who feels so guilty about not paying you back. He's bringing it up.
Yes.
That's what you want. I've had shit like this happen before. You got to just be stern about it. You got to treat it like a business.
Yes.
Take the friendship out. You just got to go, if you don't pay me by next week, I'm going to double it.
Yeah.
You just got to get real.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, hey, well, you're saying I'm irresponsible? Yes, I am. Yeah. I just need my fucking money.
He's got to respect the fact that you need the money as much as he does.
Yes.
And maybe in his mind, he's like, well, this guy's got parents with money or he's right. got whatever with money. He's rationalizing it in a certain way that is tough because anytime you guys go out and drink together, you're watching money
yes.
that should be going to you
yes.
get spent at that bar. So it's tough for you too.
And then you go, well, what about all that money? And you go, hey, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Jesus, live my life. Well, try to live mine.
Here's the thing.
It's
a principle thing. It becomes about ego.
Yeah.
Here's what the advice I'm going to give before you lend someone money and then to this guy. Before you lend someone money, I would live in a world where you never expect it back. If you're going to lend someone money, be able to lend someone money.
Right.
And be able to do it without ever, in a way that you could take a loss. So
right.
if you're in a position where someone needs money and you can't, and you say to yourself, if I lose this $300, I'm fucked for the next month
yeah.
and I'm going to really care about this. Don't do it.
Right.
Just say, hey, listen, I need it for rent. It's not going to work out. I'd love to give it to you, but I'm just not in a position to give it. But if you do give the money, do not, and it's a friend, don't expect it back.
Yeah, I guess.
Because
Boy.
It will ruin, and I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but like you have to want to help the friend. And I know you want to help the friend, but you have to be like in a position where it's like he should feel guilty enough, just like you're saying.
Uh-huh.
You know, he should be that guy that's
yes.
like, I'll get it to you every time you see him. And you go, relax. It's fine. We're friends.
Right.
We're going to work it out. To this guy, you got to make this very easy.
Uh-huh.
What you do, and I'm not even saying the double it. I don't even do that. You go to him, and you don't do it when you're drunk because that's not only going to explode.
Sure.
You sit him down one-on-one in front of nobody else because I know you're bringing up this at times when you have a little liquor in you, but when you have a little liquor in you, there's usually other people around, and that's why he's getting embarrassed and getting mad. So what you do, you sit him down, and you say, listen, man, I do need this money back. I love the relationship that we have. I'm having so much fun with you, but this is really causing an issue in our friendship, and I don't want to keep getting on you. All I'm asking is that you give me $10 a week.
Wow. And you make it payment plan?
Payment plan.
Oh.
And you make it too no, but payment plan that's so low
yeah.
that it makes it really easy for him to get it back to you. Because you saying to him, I need $150, that's fucking tough.
I hear you, but I feel like now you're doing work. Now you're checking in every week. Now you have a job.
Well, maybe you make it so easy. I hear you. I agree with that. It
puts you you're working.
Now you're working. I understand that, and it also makes it so it kind of like takes the sexiness of it out of the friendship in a certain way.
A little bit. Oh, we hung out. I need $10.
My one thing is that the thing about the $10, you say, you go, I'm gonna put a box near my bed, and just every week,
yeah.
every Friday, you put $10 in there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not gonna look at it. I'm not going to care about it. This is the last time I'm ever going to say it. By the end of the trip, in the date that 10 adds up to the date mm-hmm. that I should have it, I'm going to look in there. If it's not in there, I'm going to be disappointed. But, like, you know, that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah.
But if it is in there, I'm giving you the chance. And I'm making it super easy for you.
Right.
If he has enough money to go out with you and do abroad, and abroad is a very expensive
sure.
thing. I went abroad. It's not cheap. But he also has the money to give you $10 a week. And
I agree. This guy sounds irresponsible. And
the other thing is, I know it's hard to get money abroad and it's tough to get cash. And I totally understand that. But if, you know, he wrote something in his email that didn't make sense to me. It's like he says he doesn't, he needed money that one week to borrow $300 and then took him 2 months. Like in 2 months.
Yeah.
You can find that money. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Mark Norman, @MarkNorm. Check him out on Twitter. December 26th and 27th in Fort Lauderdale, also in Buffalo on January 2nd. Sorority girl in need of major help.
Ooh, boy. That's what I call my dick.
Major help?
Yeah, he's military.
Puts on that dong.
Yeah, he's wearing a helmet.
Hey, J-Man, I'm a sophomore from the University of Arizona. Discovered the pot. Oh, this is a long email. Are you ready?
No.
No?
Is it a lady
it's
email?
It's a lady email.
You can probably cut the first paragraph out. No. Okay.
Yeah, let's do it, right? I like it. We can interject.
Yeah, this will be fun. I like a lady email.
Me too. I'm a sophomore at the University of Arizona, discovered the podcast about a month ago, and have been binging on them ever since. I would say I'm about a 788 if we use your rating system.
Just to clarify, that's face, body, personality?
You got it.
Okay.
Over the summer while I was at home, was home with through friends, I met this guy that actually went to my school. Ironically enough, he's in a fraternity my sorority had gone to spring fling with the previous semester. Turns out we had drunkenly made out at a Super Bowl party last February, both blacked out. I love how the college is so amazing for this one reason. Yeah. We just made out, blacked out, and just girls are like, yep.
There you go.
Man, when does that change when girls are like, I'm a little lady, I'm going in on Friday, and you're like, why aren't you?
Well, in the 30s, it's not cute to be a fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, we blacked out. Whoa, you guys are crazy. In the 30s, you're like, you have kids.
Yeah. You know? Also, there's another thing. There was an older guy that was complaining to me about this girl who like wasn't, and he's an attractive older guy. And he was like, this girl just said she's not attracted to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't understand how attractive possibilities, your possibilities of being something good. Like your upside, your potential.
Potential.
How did I fuck that? This is a long, two back to back.
I'm leaving that in.
Yeah, leave that in. Potential. I know you can leave it in. Potential at a certain age is hot to girls.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a hump that once you get over that, you can't, there's no more potential once you're 35.
Right.
You know, they're like, wait a minute.
That's a good point.
What the fuck has happened here? So when you're in college and post-college, you're getting fucked
off of potential. Interesting.
You're a penny stock.
Yeah.
You're worth very little.
Right.
But you have the potential to raise to a lot.
Yes.
And like, as you get older, the more you lose that, you become the stock that you are.
It's almost like how you can get laid if you got a solid semi.
Yes.
Girls be like, I'll fuck that.
Yeah.
But once they see the boner, it's not that much bigger. You know? So you got to make sure that semi equals up to a good boner.
Yeah, you got
to. Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
So we started talking and hooking up for the rest of the summer. We both had come back to 2 weeks early for sorority and fraternity recruitment. Every night I went over to their house and we went to Pound Town. Let me tell you, the sex is fucking amazing.
Wow.
When school actually started, we slow faded each other at the same time. He started to talk to my rush crush. That's a girl that she's rushing into her sorority.
Okay, so she's younger.
I started something with one of our friends from home. Mm. He started dating my rush crush, which lasted about 2 weeks, and he started right back with me at 1 a.m. texts. So he got with the younger girl. Now, once they broke up, he goes back to the old horse.
Yes.
We would hook up occasionally, and I would always be at their house. All of my best friends are dating guys in the same fraternity. I realized I had started to develop feelings for him, but knew he didn't feel the same way. So I asked him to just be friends for a while. So she cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
He surprisingly said yes. At parents' weekend, he introduced me to his family, and they love me. Let me interject with this.
Wait, they're dating now?
So they went from hookup to slow fade to
rush
hookup.
Crush, yeah.
So he goes to rush crush.
Yeah.
Now they're hookup again.
Uh-huh.
Then she realized she was getting feelings and he wasn't.
Uh-huh.
So she backed off to friends.
Uh-huh.
He's like, cool, because now he doesn't have to dump anybody,
yeah,
which I totally get why he's so cool with it. Now they're just friends, not hooking up, and she meets the parents, and they loved her.
Uh-huh.
I hate when girls do this.
How did she get involved with the folks?
Because they were there for parents' weekend.
Oh, parents' weekend.
But do you ever notice, girls will make so much out of like little fucking things that we don't give a fuck about.
I know.
Meeting my parents, my parents are going to love you. What do you think? They're going to be like, get this fucking bitch out of my face. What do you think is going to happen?
Of course.
You're a nice girl.
Yeah,
why wouldn't they like you?
That's true.
They always elevate this shit. I remember one time I went to the, I was dating this girl and I went to Duane Reade and I needed a new deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through the deodorant thing and I got Dove deodorant or whatever it was. But I got the female one.
Yes.
And for no reason. I was just like, it's all that was left, whatever.
I know where this is going already.
She got the male one. I go back, the girl sees it in my thing. She's like, you got the female Dove?
Uh-huh.
I have the male Dove.
Oh, God.
Deodorant. We're like, and that was like, we're made to be together.
Sure,
moment. Sure. And in my mind, there's like two ways I can go with this. I could be like, no, I just fucking, I could be like, fuck, no. That's all they had left. Or I could be like, yeah, this is what I always use.
Of course.
And I did that.
Yeah, of course you did.
Because I'm trying to get blown.
Dude, every time I'm on a date, I always, when a girl goes, blah, 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 my child will go, I go, me too.
Yes.
And they light up. My God, we're meant to be, blah, blah, blah. Like on Bumble, if I live in the West Village, if a girl's like, I live in the, oh my God, it's my favorite place. It's crazy.
It's crazy. All you have to do, and this is like to our female listeners, this is you're getting inside the brain of a man. We will take anything that you're pumped about and fucking
and
up the ante.
Yeah.
And it's, pretend to be pumped.
It's that rom-com shit. You know, like serendipity. It was meant to be. And they eat it up.
There's not one guy out there that believes that
your horoscope is real.
Yeah, your horoscope is real. That you guys fell into each other's arms.
Right.
Oh, you were at the same bar that I was at the same bar.
Yes.
None of our brains was just like aloof to this fact that we wanted to fuck you.
Of course.
You know, like, for that to exist, for me to, like, bump into you on the street and then pick up your books and then look up at you and then, like, us be together forever.
Right.
You have to ignore all those moments along the way where I was like, I had a raging boner thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly. I did a girl for 8 years. I told her in the third date I hated bananas.
Yeah.
Because she hated bananas. I didn't eat a banana for 8 years.
Really?
I love bananas.
So ridiculous.
I would just hide it from her.
Yeah. And that's the thing she's doing with his mom. Oh, the parents, and they love me. She thinks putting this into the email is me being like, well, he's into it.
Case closed.
No, I'm looking at my dad, and like when I introduce a girl to my dad, I'm just like, he's in the background being like, you fucking her?
Right.
Like, he's not wondering how we met.
Yeah. Also, my parents suck. If my parents like you, I like you less. that's me.
That's not helping your situation.
Yeah, exactly.
So she writes, we ended up kissing at the tailgate, but I stopped it before we could hook up. We hung out a couple of times in groups the next few weeks. He always tried something, but I didn't let it happen. We started texting again pretty consistently and not for hookups. His fraternity's formal is a weekender in Vegas. So some of these fraternities and sororities, my school, we never did this. They'll like take a trip together.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So they're going to Vegas.
Damn.
Every guy gets to take a date. He asked me to go, and I said yes. 10 of my sorority sisters got asked as well. For the 2 weeks leading up to the, we texted constantly, and at parties and tailgates, acted super coupley. Yeah, but...
Well, you're in Vegas. You're on a trip.
Also, it's leading up to the trip that he wants to fuck you on.
Exactly.
So, you girls, here's what I'm going to tell girls out there, and I'm selling out my own kind. And I'm sorry to do this, but I consider myself like a spy that went rogue, and I'm giving you the other side.
It's for the good of the email.
Good of the email. You're not with a guy. You're not with a guy when he does stuff, when he does coupley stuff with you at its easiest.
Ooh, I like it.
So it is super easy for him to act coupley and texty with you leading up to this event because he, just like we said, he took that one road. You're the one road. You're the only girl he could hook up with at this event. So it's only in his best interest to act as if you guys are a couple leading up to this event. So you thinking that this is all elevated, it's not.
Just, you know,
you're with someone when he has the choice to do 20 different things and he chooses you.
Yes.
When it's difficult to hang out with you on a Friday night, when it's hard to make those dinner plans. That's when you're with somebody.
Right.
When it's easy, he's just going with the flow.
It's like a head of a company saying, this guy who wanted the job was really nice to me.
Yeah.
You know? Of course. He wants the job.
You got the pussy. He wants to put it in it.
Yeah.
So she writes, I had a few of his brothers come up to me and ask if we were dating. Yeah, that's what they do. Because they're trying to fuck you too.
Right, of course.
The weekend rolls around and it starts out amazing. The bus ride, the first night, we all had a great time. The shower sex was mind-blowing.
Ooh.
That never happens. You got to have the heights worked out.
I know.
The second day, we go to brunch and walk the strip. The coupleness continues. See, this is all easy to be a couple.
Of course. Well,
you're away. It's like when you date a girl. This is why long-distance relationships always seem better than than they are because it's easy to be together in those 24 hours.
Right, right.
It's harder when it's like Wednesday and she's like, are you going to sleep over? And you're like, but I want to sleep in my own bed.
Yes.
He's being super sweet and things are going well. And then I skipped ahead. Their fraternity had rented out a huge suite at the hotel that night. Oh, so she writes, the coupleness continues and he's pretty much won't let go of my hand all day. That afternoon, we watch football and take multiple trips to Pound Town, my perfect Saturday. The fraternity had rented out a huge suite at the hotel for the night. It started out as really a good night. There was an open bar and everyone is dancing. He's being super sweet and things are going well. And then I black out.
Damn.
Apparently, he stepped out for 20 minutes and one of his brothers whose date was ignoring him comes up to me and starts flirting.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, the classic slip-in.
Damn, this girl's trouble.
I don't remember any of this. He and I kiss, so she just kissed another guy. And right then, the guy I came with walks into the room. He gets super mad, and as a group, we all leave the suite. When we get back to our room, he and I are yelling at each other, and I guess I start drunk crying to my friends about how I don't know what I did or why he's actually mad at me. Clearly, it was about the kiss, but I'm drunk, too drunk to remember. He puts me to bed and goes out with his brothers to gamble. The next morning, I wake up not knowing any of this, just knowing that I blacked out. My friends fill me in on half of it, not that his fraternity brother and I had kissed, just that we were very touchy and flirty in front of my date.
So she thinks all is well.
When she woke up. Yeah. I try and apologize, but my date isn't really talking to me at that point. We're all packing to get on the bus. He passed out on the bus and sleeps the whole way home. When we finally get back to school, he is still pretty out of it, so I put him to bed and go home. Next day, I texted him how sorry I was that I made those choices on Saturday night and that being drunk wasn't an excuse, that he was a guy that I really care about and I could take it back, I would. He texts back saying that it was okay, that we aren't really dating, so I can do whatever I want, but he was just annoyed that he had to take care of me after. I apologize more, and he keeps saying it's okay that we aren't dating.
Oh, man.
So
how much more is it? Because this guy could be a fucking genius.
He could be a genius.
Setting up the kiss and everything
to
get out of it. Now he's going back to the homeland.
Yeah.
He can't be in, I don't want to be in a relationship. I've been sweet all week.
He's in the couple zone. Things seem to be semi back to normal now. I'm setting this 3 days after we got back. We've texted a bit. I know this is going to sound really girlish, but he didn't do an Instagram of he and I from the trip. He posted one with a bunch of his brothers and all my friends' dates have posted photos with them.
Oh,
finally,
man.
Getting around to the question, how much did I fuck this up? I'm starting to realize that I really like him again. We could see us dating maybe. Did I completely ruin my chances of that? And how should I approach the situation with him the next time I see him? Thanks so much. She actually emailed back in with an update. This isn't long enough.
Do tell.
J-Man, here's an update to the lovely story. The guy and I talked it out last week, and I thought we were pretty back on track. My friends convinced me to go to my sorority formal, which is Saturday night, so I decided to take my chance and ask him to the formal. Turns out he already been asked by one of my sisters, who's a freshman.
Damn, they keep this shit in the family,
and,
huh?
Yeah, this is what happens. A sorority and a fraternity will link up, and it just becomes incestual. This is like a normal thing.
Like a Friends episode. Yeah.
He said he really wanted to go with me, but isn't going to ditch her. All of my friends are all bringing guys from his fraternity, so they set me up with one. The first guy they tried to didn't want to go with me because of the weird relationship with my formal date.
Oh, finally.
But I am now going with one of his brothers. So she is. My friends and I are throwing the pregame for all the other girls going with his fraternity, and he and his date are coming. I bought the hottest dress I could find so I could have that covered, but I really don't know how to approach the whole night now that they are coming to the pregame. Please help.
It's so much, you know, at a certain point, you just gotta have fun with the whole thing. You just gotta let some of it go. You know,
just
go, let the night play out and just see where it goes.
You're totally right. This was an epic tale. Thank you for that email.
Yeah.
I like doing one long email every now and again. Please don't send in emails this long. If you're gonna send in an email, you know, let's keep it to a paragraph. Four sentences can get the job done.
Yeah.
I do understand all that went into this because she had the history.
Right.
If we can recap, she's got the history of the summer. They get fixed up. They're this will they, won't they.
Right.
They kind of fuck. They're having amazing sex. They keep it in this friend. She pushes them off to be a friend.
Yep.
Because in her mind, she knows that, like, if they start hooking up, she's going to feel bad about the situation because he's not as into it as she is.
Right.
She gets that formal date, and then she fucks it up by making out with some other random dude right in front of him.
Yep.
And now she's going to this formal. I think she's keeping it. What do you think? Let me hear your opinion. Well, is there any way to get this guy back?
No.
No.
You can fuck him again, but you're not going to date
he'll
him.
He'll fuck you.
Yeah, he'll fuck you again. The whole thing was like watching two seasons of Laguna Beach. God damn, that was long. But yeah, this guy, I mean, this is like the typical male. Like,
yeah.
He's the cliche. He's smart. He played it just like you said.
Yeah.
Sweet, 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 because you're on a fucking trip.
Yeah.
Or you're leading up to the trip, which is going to be fuck city hotel sex for him in Vegas.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then it all worked out for this guy. I mean,
yeah. This is the perfect situation.
Perfect situation.
Because also, girls don't realize this, or we never admit this. None of us want to be seen as a dick.
Right. And yes, of course.
This whole situation, like, I've always envied the guy who got cheated on by his wife. I've always kind of envied that guy.
He's the victim.
He's the victim.
Right.
You know, he doesn't, the breakup's easy.
I don't envy him, but I hear you. I
have an envy for a guy who gets like kind of cheated on.
Right.
There's a piece of me because I'm like, you know, you're not the dick. You can end this thing that you probably weren't even that into in the first place.
Right, right.
She gave him
an out.
An out.
Get out of jail free.
Guys, if they're just like kind of into it and they're like, yeah, like you made out with his friend. He doesn't really care about that because he's already fucked you.
Right, right.
You know, you might think like, oh, I embarrassed him and all his friends. And he could play that up just like we would play up, you know, the same deodorant or the bananas.
Sure.
But all he does is he's only playing that up because he knows that he can come back to you and fuck you again.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I've been guilty of that. A girl I dated, and we were like not even serious. She made out with some guy, and I played it up. Like,
yes.
I used that. I had that in my back pocket all day long.
Yeah.
What movie do you want to see? Well, I want to see this movie. I want to see this movie. Well, you made out with Trevor. So we're going to see, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so I've done that. But this guy, I mean, this guy is like a fucking strategic master. He knew because when you get back, the worst part of this whole thing is when you get back from that trip.
Yeah.
Now you're kind of dating. You've been fucking her. I'm sure without a condom. They've been holding hands all night.
Totally. It's tough to get out of that.
How do you get out of that?
Yes.
You know? And how do you get out of that and make it not obvious?
And she's going to be, because what she would say, if she didn't make out with the guy, she would have been like, but you were acting.
Yeah.
You're the dick. You convinced me. And really now he has this whole like, well, you made out with that guy.
It's the
you
perfect
know?
Out. And she didn't fuck him, which is great. Like, he doesn't have that on his shoulders.
Totally.
Like, just a makeout. It's all smooth.
Yes.
This guy's like a Kaiser Sose.
Yeah, it is.
Incredible.
I think when the way she, what she needs to do, and what happens is a lot in college, you need to separate yourself from this one group. You got to find a guy outside of this group. Because every guy in this one fraternity, well, you know, fraternities as a group start to look alike.
Yeah.
You know, and not just in general. I'm just saying, like, house to house. Like, they all have a certain look. My house was like a preppy, waspy house. Everyone had kind of a similar dress
Mine
going
too.
On. Yeah, and then, like, there were some houses that were, like, you know, that you'd be like, okay, they all kind of look like
stonery.
They'd be stonery.
Like fish.
Yeah, or Jewy. You know, you'd have all those ones. So you are now just dating versions of the guy.
You're dating a copy of a copy of a copy.
Yeah. So and that can only make you feel like shit.
Right.
So the only way to get out of this is to really separate yourself. And I know it's hard because all your friends hang out with this one fraternity, but you're, you know, go maybe reach out to some other fraternities and do some events with them because for the formal, if you dress for another guy, he doesn't give a fuck.
What
like when she's like, I put on that hot dress so he'll notice me. No, he's going to be into the girl that he brought that he hasn't fucked yet.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, guys like a little variety. Sadly, I know it's harsh, but it's true.
So,
also,
I don't know.
Women, I think once you put it inside a lady, there is some kind of connection there. Like women have that, he's been inside me.
Yes.
I want him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've only worn you. I've thrown away t-shirts all the time.
Exactly.
TFM podcast. @gmail.com, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. We're going to do one more email. We'll do a quick one.
Please.
And then we're going to do some news and all that shit.
Did she write back?
She wrote back now. knowing a Tinder match.
Ooh.
I like this one. Huge fan of the podcast. Even more so of your articles. Thanks, man. Great insight to a lot of dated things people aren't sure how to handle. I matched with a girl on Tinder that I went to college with. I graduated in 14 and her in 15. Both work near each other. We met once, but only because she was friends with my ex-girlfriend. How can I approach this without making it awkward? How should I open this puppy up? Even if you don't answer this on the show, please respond over email. What do you think? Have you ever matched with someone on Tinder or Bumble that you know?
Yes.
I've had that happen too.
I just play it like, hey, hottie. I just make it a joke. I never want to actually hook up.
You never want to.
Nah, Tinder, I like, it's all stranger.
You want the stranger.
I want the stranger with comedy, Tinder, all that shit.
Yeah, it's tough when the comedy, I understand that.
Yeah.
You have some friends there, and it's like you have this illusion of performing for them that's like not there.
Yeah, it's silly. But Tinder, I almost look at like doing coke. I just want to do it and have no one know I did it.
Yes.
And like do it, have fun, have a great time, then go back to regular life.
Yeah, that is a great, I agree with that. If you're in this situation, I've been in this situation, the problem with matching with someone you know on Tinder or Bumble or any of these apps is that it immediately it can't be that. It can't be just a fucking chuck.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you have to, this is kind of like with, it happens when a lot of people write in about like approaching a girl on Facebook or Instagram that you know. And like, you, if you do that, you have to pursue it as a relationship because what you're doing, you know, you can't, there's nothing worse because you'll be seen as someone who's like kind of tricked her.
Right.
Because what you're doing is, and it's kind of back to this romantic thing. You're saying, I've thought about you for a long time. I've had this friendship going on. I feel like we would be great together because you only are approaching her in her mind, not because you just want to fuck, because you're like, oh, I've really thought about this and I've seen us together.
Yeah, yeah.
With Tinder, when it randomly pops up with a stranger, you have that ability to be like, well, you know, we just kind of met and I kind of wanted to fuck you.
Exactly, yeah.
With the girl you know, you automatically have to be like, oh, you know,
this is real.
You can't force a random hookup.
Yes, yes.
And that's kind of, so you, my advice to the friend is like, go for it, but know that you have to go for it. You have to go for an actual date. This is going to get reported to her friends. Look, I'm seeing this guy from college. Remember him?
Yeah.
They're all going to know about it. It's not, there's no way, you can't force a random hookup. You can't just message a girl and like expect her to believe that it's going to be this like, yeah, we're just having fun, because it's not fun. This is a serious situation.
Interesting. It's like going on a job interview where the guy knows you.
Yes.
So you can't be like, well, my best asset, because the guy's like, what? You're not good at that.
Yeah.
You got to be real.
Exactly. And like, or they know your parents, and you're like, I'm just trying to get by. And they're like, well, your parents are billionaires.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
what are you talking about? You have to reveal yourself a little bit, and you have to understand that this is the, I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just letting you know, here's the road you're going down.
I know. And I will say it's exciting. There's something exciting about seeing someone you know on Tinder, because it's like, oh, I didn't know we were both in this world.
Yes.
You know, oh, look, you're trying to find a guy. I'm trying to find a girl. Hey, yes. We already know each other. So it gives you that little hint of excitement, but I think it's a bad idea in the long run.
It's like a fix-up that the friend is this app.
Ah! Yeah. Great way to put it.
So tfmpodcast@gmail.com. Mark, thank you for coming on.
Jeez. A pleasure, and it was insightful.
You're a fantastic guest. You're always great when you come on. Go check out Mark Norman at Mark Norman on Twitter. We're going to come back with the news and some hypotheticals. We'll be right back. I can't say life's a bitch because of what you make of me. You make your own bitch, so you gotta leave me. Hey guys, welcome back. We're here with Mark Norman. Mark, thank you for answering those emails. Great episode.
That was a lot of fun.
Always great to have you on. Go follow him at Mark Norm on Twitter. He's going to be in Fort Lauderdale December 26th and 27th. Also, Buffalo January 2nd. Go check him out, Helium Comedy Club. Mansamp, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
At Mansamp on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast, every Friday. Let's go right into hypotheticals. You ready?
Yeah, baby.
Hello, Jared Fried. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. Been putting a lot of my friends on the J-Train locomotive that is heading to the TFM station. Thank you.
Wow.
As you often say, women do things for the stories and their friends' reactions, which leads me to my hypothetical. As being the great quality gentleman that you are, would you fuck the hottest, most succulent girl you possibly could imagine, but she denies it and not a single person believes you? Or would you rather not fuck said girl, but everyone believes you did, and she also says the two of you hooked up? So, hottest girl alive, you fuck her.
Yes.
Or you don't fuck her, but everyone thinks you did.
Yeah. And can she deny it?
She says you did hook up.
Oh.
She's on board for the lie.
I go with the lie.
I agree.
Because, I hate to sound so bad, but pussy is pussy. If you fuck Cindy Crawford, who's super hot still at 48 or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you fuck Scar Joe, who's super hot now.
Yeah.
It's all the same. You're just putting your dick in a moist pita pocket, you know?
I've said that. I mean, we've said this on a past that we called the past episode. The title was, for every hot chick, there's a guy that's tired of fucking her.
Yeah.
That's an old saying.
I remember seeing that on a bathroom wall when I was like 18. It blew my mind.
Yes. And I think Also, the best cologne is pussy.
Right. So you guys are saying like the investment of having this hot chick say that you fucked her.
Girls want to know what's up.
Way more important. Yes.
Girls want to know what's up. So pussy draws in pussy.
Totally. I dated a girl for years, and about 5 years in, she goes, you know what? Just tell me everything you've ever done with a girl. Like, and I was like, you don't want to hear that. She's like, lay it on me. I told her. She was freaked out. After that, for 6 months, it was the wildest sex.
Really?
Most frequent sex ever.
Well, just because she knew you were game. She could be comfortable with
you. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and especially if it's the hottest girl, you know, that's like wearing a championship belt.
Right, right.
You know, people respect that.
Yeah,
you know,
gold ring.
You know, gold ring. You kiss the ring.
Yeah.
And they'll be kissing your dick.
Yes.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have kind of convinced me. I mean, I guess it'd be fun to bang the hottest chick in the world. But the value of not banging her and everybody thinking you did is way higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like spending a dollar or getting... Wait, shit. Hold on.
Teach a man to fish.
There it is. I'll take it.
Give him a fish. Eats for a day. Teach a man to fish. He eats for life. That's,
boom.
You know...
Yes.
Except put in pussy.
Yeah.
Let's go to some...
Shelby. He's like... Good answer.
Yeah. Gives a nice thumbs up.
Yeah.
Let me go through some plugs before. JTrainComedy.com is my website. Go check it out for dates and all that stuff. I'm coming to some colleges in the spring. HarrySchmuckler@gmail.com is my college booking manager.
Okay.
If you guys want me to come to your school, email HarrySchmuckler@gmail.com.
You got
to
spell that.
HarrySchmuckler. So at gmail.com. Also, StandUpNY.com. I'm going to be here on New Year's. If you want tickets to the shows, you get free tickets. Mark's here all the time.
I'm here on New Year's.
Oh, you're here?
Are you hosting?
The early, early show.
I'll be there.
Oh, awesome.
Great.
So I'll see you there. Go to StandUpNY.com. Use the promo code TFM. Get free tickets to any show here at the club. Also, iTunes, all that stuff. StandUpNewYorkLabs.com. Go check out all the shit they got going on. ComedyVoices.com. Go support this thing, please.
Yeah.
Let's go to some news. Also, it really nibbles at my nuts when you guys send me you listening to the TFM podcast on Snapchat. So keep doing that. I'm JTrain56 on that. So keep doing that. Are you on Snapchat?
I am, but I don't know how to use it.
Dude,
teach me.
Are you kidding me?
I'm on it. I got a ton of people, but I
gave
don't know
you
what
Bumble.
I'm going
to give you this too.
All right. Is it complicated?
The best.
Okay.
What's your name on it?
I think this is Mark Normand, one word.
So go find Mark on Snapchat. Send him some tips.
I follow back? I don't know.
It's a connection. It's like friending.
Okay.
It's a dual. It's a dual contract that you can both snap out of. I'm going to teach you something.
All right.
Go.
You forwarded me this email that you got from somebody named Jason about. And I don't know. I mean, this is on MSN.com, so I'm assuming it's a real story. But whatever. It's a transgender father named Stephanie Walsh leaves family in Toronto to start new life as a 6-year-old girl.
I saw the photo of that.
The photo is ridiculous.
Year old man who wants to be a woman, I guess.
So I'm fine with like becoming the woman, but like the minute you're like, well, now I'm a 6-year-old, we're letting anything go.
Yeah, exactly. Now you can fuck kids or you can kiss kids.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And you don't have to pay bills. You can wet the bed. I mean, get the fuck out of here.
Who's taking them in?
Oh, God.
Like, who's that weirdo that's like, I want you as my kid, 40-year-old?
Right. Where's the 6-year-old transgender going, I'm 80?
Yeah.
You know, right.
Like, this is a whole weird story if you read the article that, like, this is apparently...
You don't say.
Well, obviously, but...
You know, the guy that wants to be 6-year-old woman doesn't want to... girl?
He was involved in, like, this transgender video series or whatever, and then, like, tried to commit suicide, and there's, like, this whole, like, deeper... aspects.
See, the problem with someone like this is that the problem with the internet is that we've given everyone a platform, even the people that just don't deserve it. Just because, you know, there's a huge transgender community that is having a tougher time already with getting their views across and being taken seriously. And then this fucking crazy gets front page on MSNBC.com.
No, like, MSN. Well, but whatever. But
he's on
source,
a website. Yeah. He's getting clicks.
Yeah.
She's the thing getting clicks.
Yeah.
And it's taking away from some spectacular transgender women that are out there trying to do spectacular things.
It's freak show, man. It's like old as time.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, listen, you're a man, want to become a woman? I don't give a fuck. But it's the guy who wants to be who already tried to commit suicide a few times, has been on TV. Now he's going to become a woman. Now he's going to become a 6-year-old. His whole life is trying to get clicks.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the one that's taking the conversation away from people who really do need help or really do want a community.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, everyone hates their own the most. I've said this before.
Like, you think so?
I think everyone hates, like, when I see a Jewish guy acting real Jewy, I'm like, fuck that guy. He's making us all look like nerds.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you go to comedy clubs, you see a black guy being, like, extra loud and being annoying. There's always, you look at the other black guy in the room, he's like, fuck this guy. Come on.
Right, right.
You know, like, when someone's being, you know, all that white people problem shit.
Yeah.
You know, we all fucking talk more shit on ourselves than anyone else.
So right.
This woman is hurting it for the rest of them.
Hurting it for the other six-year-old trannies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the other thing. I mean, like, at a certain point, you go, okay, this guy wants to be a woman, wants to be a six-year-old. If you let this person do that, do you really think things are going to work out perfectly?
Course, I think course. I'm a dog.
Right.
I think I'm a dog.
Exactly.
Put me on a leash.
I'd like a white guy to say, I'm black, and then go in the hood and just start shouting the N-word and shit.
Let's see how that goes. Yeah. Let's go to the next story.
A study shows that ending your text with a period makes you look like a dick. And I figured this is a good one for you because you're good at this.
Interesting.
I'm a big text. What do you think? Would you think that's a dick?
I don't think it depends on the sentence. But
yeah.
I've been hooking up with this 23-year-old, and I got to tell you, it's a fucking game changer. I know probably the listenership is pretty young, but like I'm 32. Not to gross everybody out, but I can't even keep up the words and all that, and the lingo, and there's no punctuation. Kids don't use punctuation.
Well, that's what this study is saying.
Commas are out.
Don't use periods. No punctuation unless it's an exclamation point, which could mean that you're being more sincere.
Right.
Yeah.
But no question mark. How the fuck do I know if it's a question? It's crazy.
I think that anytime you hear that the normal is something over text, you should go the opposite, and it'll make you hotter.
I'm
always trying to get fucked, so I'm always trying to help the listeners get fucked. So,
please.
If the thing is to not use punctuation, if that's what's happening right now, you can only look more interesting if you're the guy that does perfect English.
That's what I do.
You know, and I do too.
Yeah.
So when I do,
how about phone call? That's another one. No one's talking on the phone. I call. Chicks love it.
Yeah, they go crazy. Yeah. So I think this is just fine. Maybe I'm a dick because I put a period, but I'm also a dick getting sucked.
Wow, sure.
So here's my advice. Whatever this is, fine. The study only teaches me that everyone is doing it one way.
Yes.
So when people zig, you got to zag.
I love a zag.
So this is where you zag. If you're listening right now, you go King's English. You go perfect Shakespearean English.
I agree, but you don't want to zag
too much,
because then you're a six-year-old trainee. That's a crazy zag.
I'm joking with the King's English, but like, go, you know, I would tell you, if you're texting with a girl, be a mensch, be a gentleman. You know,
Lose as a gentleman.
No, you can never lose as a gentleman, and you should write in nice sentences, structured well, commas, and also, you know, and that will just be like, yeah, this guy, like, he always writes out you.
Yeah, exactly. And look, all this,
they'll talk about it.
I don't think I've ever texted a small you.
I've never done either. There's all this feminism shit going on in the world, blah, blah, blah. Open that fucking door every time. Pay for that check every time. It doesn't hurt. It always helps.
Long run, it's like, you know, I think Corolla said something like this, where it's like, when you smell a steak, you start to salivate.
Yeah.
You know, I think he said something like that. That there are things that you just can't help your body from doing. When a girl has a door open for them, or when you put your hand out to like help her out of the cab,
instinctual,
something else salivates. And I'm not talking about your mouth.
Yeah, there's no teeth in that mouth.
No, we hope.
Ooh, yeah. Good point.
Mark, thank you for coming on.
Oh, is that
appreciate
it?
That's right. It.
Thanks,
I know we gotta get. It's 6 o'clock. We gotta get moving.
Yeah,
Chris, thank you for bringing the news.
Sure, man.
At @mansamp on Twitter, Mandatory Samson podcast every Friday. Mark Norman @MarkNorm on Twitter. Go check them out, support them. Be